Da-na-da-na-da-na. This is where the intro music goes. Da-na-da-na.
But, and this butt is a big butt.
Ooh, I cannot lie.
Yeah, I like big butts. Yeah. That is a hot take, my friend. hot take. Num, 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 num. I'll eat that, bro. Man, Cincy Stephen's going to get that.
What's up, everybody? You know what time it is. It's time for Grade A. Match Day 11 edition, and it took us this many games to find the worst one of the season. Boy, this was awful. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in a win, but you can't really be disappointed. But Adam, I guess I'll bring you in right away and ask, is there such thing as a bad win?
I mean, no. I'll take a win. I mean, yeah. You know, we said Orlando, they always play us like this. They always muck up the game. You know, we had some clearly injured players out there, key players who clearly weren't playing at 100%. And you know, I think that hamstrung our offense a lot. But yeah, once you know, to be up a man and basically not get anything but a couple of shots out of it is pretty pathetic. It was not one that's going to be going on a lot of guys' highlight reels. There maybe the first 12 seconds of the game, and then after that,
a lot of forgettable.
Yeah, it was a lot of things that'll be erased.
Yes, but we will let it live on in perpetuity as we go through it and give the ratings. And we also had the debut of Kevin Kelce, so I'm sure you'll touch on that a little bit. But let's jump in to the starting lineup again that goes down to the land of Mickey Mouse and comes away with a 1-0 victory in probably the hardest fashion possible, even under the easiest of circumstances, being up a man for the majority of the game. But we'll start in the goal. And, you know, Adam, we scored early, and I think maybe I'm going to guess that the man of the match may come out early, and back in the starting lineup is Roman Celentano. A shaky start, fumbled one early on, didn't look too assertive on another ball that he punched out, but grew into the game, as they like to say, and really saved the bacon in the second half with a couple of tremendous saves. So let's start with Roman Celentano. In the goal.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I will say that I think I was only really considering three guys for man of the match, and we're going to get those three guys out of the way early. Fair point. Yeah, I thought Roman, you know, he does get beat 1v1 by Angulo, and you know, Murphy comes off his line is able to save it off the line. That might have been Roman's one mistake, other than that, you know, a couple of, like you mentioned, hairy moments at the beginning of the game where he kind of mistouches it a few times. But after that, you know, he had an absolutely sterling save on Halliday's deflected shot. You know, it was a hard low shot that Miazga deflected, and it became kind of a looper over his head, and he did really well to react and push it over. And then there is a hard long shot from Ladero, which may have actually been called a pass. I don't believe it was officially a save. It was easily caught. It looked on goal to me, but the one that was officially a save was a headed shot by Ladero that, again, Roman made a great job really to dive and push that wide. So two really excellent saves, you know, gets the shutout. Did everything we asked him to do. His distribution was shaky. I mean, especially after Alec Can had put up such a good show last week on distribution. You know, seeing Roman again was a little bit like, but you know, Roman knows how to stop shots. He did a great job with you know, two really difficult shots. Preserved a win after basically having nothing to do but sit on his thumbs for 70 minutes to wake up and make two great saves was pretty impressive. I gave Roman Celentano a 7.5.
All right. And he is not the man of the match, although he does have his fourth shutout of the year on how many games has he played? Seven?
Seven.
Seven games, four shutouts. I'll take that. I'll take that average.
Yep, me too.
Every day. All right, let's get into this back line. You said the better scores were going to come early, so we'll start with Ian Murphy. Got the start out on the left. Ian Murphy, probably one of the other saves of the game, as he tracks back on a ball and basically clears it off the line. I think in the run of play, the announcer said that it was Robinson, but I'm fairly certain that was Ian Murphy. So correct me if I'm wrong and talk to me about Ian's night.
Yeah, that was definitely Ian Murphy. He really, honestly, he got beat over the top for that. But he did make a pretty great recovery after Roman comes off his line to force the I believe was it Angulo? I believe it was Angulo wide, and he was able to get back to the line and clear the shot off the line. So, you know, That honestly, that play cost Roman Celentano man of the match and nearly got Ian Murphy man of the match, because I felt like that was at a key time too, where you know, we could have crumbled there. He did get caught upfield a bit with Luca, and on that was on the play that Halliday was able to counter for a shot on goal. But, you know, Halliday was coming up their side. Neither one of them was in any position to stop him there. Miazga had to come over late and, you know, deflected it. He had a big headed clearance late. He had a couple of clutch clearances pretty late in the game. I'm going to start talking about how many touches people had to see if you pick up on a pattern here. But Murphy had 86 touches, which tied him for first. He had 9 passes into the final third. I thought he was really pretty excellent in this game. Again, I considered him for man of the match, but I gave him a 7.5.
All right. Strong showing from Ian Murphy, who will have a lot of eyes on him come this weekend. All right. Let's go to the middle. Matt Miazga. Did he keep up with Murphy? Did he best Murphy? Give me the goods.
Yeah. I thought this was one of those games where, you know, I like to say that in defense, it's all about not making mistakes. I thought Miazga was about as close to flawless in this game as you could get. You know, may not have had the spectacular play of clearing a play off the line. He was able to deflect that shot by Halliday. I mean, you know, it was still a dangerous shot, still ended up on goal. But, you know, it was a really nice recovery just to get a piece of that, take some fire off of it. He did also have a shot on goal on a headed chance. It was fairly easily saved. He had 86 touches, which was tied for first on the team. He was 11 of 14 on his long passing, which was by far the best on the team, highest numbers anyway. He had 3 clearances, which tied him for first. He had 803 progressive passing yards, which was almost double the next guy. He had 9 passes into the final third. I mean, frankly, I think he was the only guy offensively that played like we were a man up. You know, like he I thought was consistently looking to push the issue, even when our attackers didn't always look that way. And defensively, he won all 7 of his duels. You know, I just thought, you know, he honestly couldn't have played a better game. So I gave Matt Miazga an 8.0. He was my man of the match.
He gets an extra half point for me for somehow avoiding a yellow card from Ishmael Elfath. Yeah, I have a hard time with this. I don't know. The guy was giving him out like candy, man.
Right.
It was insane.
Right. And I mean, you know, he did just enough shit housing in that game that, you know, he was frustrating to Orlando, but at the same time, he didn't get carded, which was like you said, a kind of amazing the way that game went.
I don't think him and Janssen went out for dinner afterwards.
No. Yeah. That definitely got a little hot.
Oh, it got hot fast. All right. Let's see if we can keep it hot on the back line. We'll move over to Miles Robinson.
Yeah, I thought Miles was pretty good. Maybe a lot of Orlando's best chances came up the left side, especially after they went down a man. Miles didn't have a whole lot to do for a while. I do think he did a pretty nice job. There were a couple times Yedlin kind of got beat. I thought as the game went on, you know, Yedlin just didn't look all that fit to me. And you know, it only got worse after Yedlin left. So, you know, I thought Miles did pick up the slack, even though he was less busy probably than Murphy was. He also, he did really get, had a really great long ball to Luka that had Luka behind the defense. Luka kind of mistouched it a little bit and was caught from behind. He had 80 touches, which put him in third on the team. He had 7 progressive passes, which was first on the team. He did get dribbled around once. He was only 1 of 6 on his long passing. So those kind of things kind of, you know, he wasn't as effective offensively as either Miles or Murphy. So that kind of docked him a little bit. He did have 3 clearances, which tied him with Miazga for first. And he did have 5 recoveries, which put him in second on the team, tied for second. So, yeah, I thought Miles was good. Just maybe not quite as good as the other two. I gave Miles Robinson a 7.0.
Yeah, the back line was a little busy in this one, which was kind of perplexing considering the fact we played up a man for most of the game. So I think that's probably the biggest frustrating takeaway. As well as the back line played, why did they have to play so well?
Right. You know, a lot more on the back line than you would expect being up a man.
Yeah, given the circumstances. Okay, let's move to the midfield. A little bit of a back down to earth game for my friend Luca Orejano here. Did not look good in the first half. Really didn't necessarily pick it up that much in the second half. So you can give me the rundown on our young left wing back.
Yeah, I really thought this was a pretty tough game for him. He was 0-for-3 on his own dribbles. You know, he was trying to make things happen. I think he was trying to pick up the slack, frankly, from Lucho Acosta, who was pretty much hurt from about the 32nd minute on. He also got, like I mentioned before, he got caught way upfield on the Holiday chance. 55 touches, kind of low for him, and included in that, he had 2 missed touches. He got dispossessed 5 times. Both of those were you know, first on the team in a bad way, or last on the team, depending on how you want to call it. But he did lead the team with 6 recoveries, which, again, you know, they were coming up his side a lot. But, you know, to prove that he wasn't as effective, he was only 5 of 17 on his duels, which was, you know, he was in a lot of duels and he lost a lot of duels. So, you know, he just got beat a lot on our left flank, and really could not do anything offensively. I just did not think it was a good game for him on either side of the ball. I gave Luca Orejano a 4.0.
Yep. Terrible game. Let's just forget about it and move on. And we will move on to Pavel Buka. I thought he was pretty solid. Again, didn't see a lot out of him offensively like we have the last few games. Maybe chalk that up to the way Orlando mucks up the middle, but give me your lowdown on him.
Yeah, you know, it's a hard one for me to score a little bit. Because I do feel like of all the players who probably should have picked up some slack with Lucho not being able to do his thing, clearly. You know, and Orejano struggling, Yedlin was struggling clearly also. Like, I really felt like Pavel probably should have been looked to pick up a lot of the slack offensively. And, you know, I just don't think he did a lot of that. Now, I felt like we were keeping him too far back. You know, with up a man, I would have liked to have seen him get forward a lot more and, you know, kind of force Orlando to defend more. Like he did have 58 touches, which tied him for fourth on the team. He had six progressive passes, which put him in second. But, you know, it's like he was getting it forward, but then he wasn't a part of the offense in the final third. You know, he was 2 of 3 on his 1v1 dribbles. He had 5 recoveries, which tied him for second. Like his numbers were pretty decent. But again, like I just thought that with everybody else struggling and with a man up, like where's our extra man in attack? And you know, Buka with his skill set, especially of being a pretty good like long shooter, like I felt like we should have been taking more long shots, trying to get deflections, trying to get corner kicks, yeah. making it difficult for them, because you know when you're a man down, you it's a lot harder to mark everybody on a set piece like that. We just weren't even really trying to put them in positions where they had to defend, had to make tackles on us, and I, you know, like our passing percentage was really high, one of our highest of the year, but it's because we weren't really making any dangerous passes, and I put that on Pavel as much as anybody else. I gave him a 5.5.
Ooh, harsh. All right, well, let's see what his running mate did. Obi, he was busy in this one.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I do think that the, again, he had a few errors. He had a really poor touch in the defending box, almost landed right by Halliday. He was able to make a, you know, a last second recovery where he kind of got to Halliday's feet before he could shoot it. He did lead the team, though, with 4 interceptions. He had 58 touches, just like Buka. He was 4 of 4 on his duels. He was 91% passing. So, like, I thought his defensive numbers were good. But I just didn't think he did enough to go forward and help out our offense. I gave Obi Wobodo a 6.0.
All right. DeAndre Yedlin started this one not at 100%, ended up coming out in the 56th minute. How did he do in his time, other than dropping an absolute dime over the top to Lucho Acosta right in? Was it all in the beginning and nothing after, or did he sustain a good performance?
Yeah, I kind of thought it was all in the beginning and nothing after. I think... You know, I don't want to maybe put it in that stark of terms. Like, I thought he was at his strongest at the beginning of the game, though. And I do think that, like, as time went on, he slowed down. He's coming back off the hip pointer. I don't know if that's I'm sure it did play a factor. Certainly after he kind of got hip checked in about the 55th minute. Yeah. He was really slow getting up after that. We subbed him out almost immediately. But absolutely perfect though on that long ball to Lucho. That was a great assist. I thought, you know, he was the man marking Cartagena on the woodwork shot. I thought that was a really great defensive play from him. Like I thought he was all over Cartagena on that. Cartagena was just able to get off a great shot. So I really am not going to hold him too accountable on that at all. I thought toward the end of the first half, you started to see him getting beaten more and more. He was beaten on a dribble once. He was 0-for-3 on his duels, really struggled getting on the ball as the game went on. He only had 40 touches. I thought brilliant at the beginning, kind of lost his touch as the game went on. I gave DeAndre Yedlin a 6.5.
All right. Well, let's move up to the offense that was hot early, if you want to call 17 seconds early, and then kind of disappeared for the rest of the game. So the goal scorer, Lucho Acosta.
Yeah, I thought again, like on that goal, yeah, it was absolutely great from beginning to end. Masterful first touch. A really great run to time it perfectly. He was in well behind their defense, then was able to hold the ball up for long enough that the two defenders like run right past him. able to finish on goal, you know, just an absolute perfect shot. Just absolutely, you went from him. Just, you know, beat three guys,
like, yeah, three, really.
Yeah, right. And the keeper. So, yeah. And then, you know, right after that, he draws a yellow on Araujo. But then in the 32nd minute, you know, he clearly gets injured on a tackle there. And really kind of the air comes out of the ball for the entire team. He was not the leader in shot creating actions in this game. He had two shot creating actions that tied him for second.
That might be the first time since he's been with the club.
Right. And I mean,
and it showed
probably pretty close. He had one key pass that was not first on the team. Do you care to take a guess who led the team in both those categories?
Key passes. I'm going Ian Murphy.
No. Two shot creating actions too.
Datto.
Correct.
No way. Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
How about
Datto had three shot creating actions. He had two key passes. Both of those were team leads. So that kind of goes to show you just how inept our offense was. I do think that, you know, Datto kind of showed that he is better than a severely hurt Lucho, because, you know, Lucho just wasn't getting in the mix after that. He had 51 touches, which is well off his normal. Five progressive passes, still third on the team there. He had zero progressive carries, though. Three of four successful dribbles. Still pretty good there. Love the team there. Excuse me. He also won both of his tackles, and both of those were in the defensive third. And he did have seven progressive receptions, which led the team. But, yeah, once he would get on the ball, you know, obviously he wasn't taking it to him as much as he normally would. And we really didn't have a whole lot of ideas past that. So he was by far our best attacker. And, you know, obviously the goal scorer. So I gave Luciano Acosta a 7.5.
All right, let's go to these two forwards. We'll start with you, Yakubo, who quite frankly should have scored, but was able to draw the foul for the red card, but should have scored to make it 2-0. That was kind of disappointing on him. Just didn't get the ball out in front of him enough to run onto it and just slowed himself down, I think. Was a bit indecisive as well. But yeah, talk about you, Yaz Knight. Got 80 minutes in this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do think it, for him to be able to be Johnny on the spot on that, pick up the poor back pass.
Was tremendous. That was a great play. Yeah,
it really was a great play. It led to, you know, that breakaway. And, you know, I do think that he did kind of get caught between two minds there a little bit. But he did make sure to draw the red card. I thought he was pretty smart about what he did with it. On that final touch, because it could have easily, you know, like it was very close to not being called. I mean, he almost blew that whole opportunity. So, yeah, I thought he did well with that. He did also have a really nice run in behind in the 71st minute, put that in the side netting. You know, honestly, other than the Lucho goal, he had our two best chances of the night. He had two interceptions, 21 touches, though. Like, that's all he got. He had two shot-creating actions, which tied him for second with Lucho, and he had two progressive dribbles, which was also first on the team. So, like, just really no low numbers, and he was the best. So, you know, I thought he was kind of dangerous, but certainly not enough of you, Yakubo, in this. I gave him a 6.5.
All right. Well, if he got a 6.5, Corey Baird's going to be lower.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, like as a fun fact of trivia, Corey Baird played in this game.
Right. He was a ghost.
Right. He also lost Facu Torres for a wide open back post opportunity on a corner kick with it. You know, honestly, the cross just missed its mark. If that would have been on Torres at all, it would have been an easy goal. He did draw a yellow on Cartagena. That might have been the only positive thing from him. He was only one of four on duels. He only had 13 touches in the game. So, yeah, he was just non-existent in this game. I gave Corey Baird a 4.0.
That was quick. Yeah. Not much to say. All right, let's recap the starters again. Despite all these ratings, especially in the end, we did win 1-0. So we will start in the net. Roman Celentano returns to the starting lineup, gets his fourth shutout of the season and a 7.5 rating. Ian Murphy, the same, with a 7.5 and a very important clearance off the line. Matt Miazga, a very complete and, as Adam said, about as perfect game as he could play, and avoided a yellow card. He is your man of the match with an 8.0 rating. And Miles Robinson finishes out the back line with a 7.0. The midfield, starting with Luca Orellano, a down-to-earth game, 4.0 for Luca. Hopefully has a bounce back this weekend. Pavel Buka is going to be riding that train as well. He got a 5.5. Obi with a 6. And DeAndre Yedlin, 80%, 70%, whatever percent, he gets a 6.5 and an early exit in the 56th minute. Lucho Acosta was good early, injured late, ends up coming off. He gets a 7.5. Yuya Kubo, a 6.5. Corey Baird, a 4. Add it all up. Once again, it's a 1-0 victory. The only team in MLS that we had not beaten, I guess that we had played, because I don't think we've played and beaten all of the Western Conference. Maybe it was all Eastern Conference teams. This was the first time that we had beaten Orlando. So we can check that one off the list, Adam. And let's check off some subs, because I'm sure you got some things to say. There were some good performances and a debut.
Yeah. First off, I mean, I will say, didn't rate Halsey, but if I did, that would have been a really bad score. That was,
you immediately get a yellow.
Right.
Which really, I don't know. I mean, it was just a dumb foul anyway, but okay, then fine. Like, what? They've been pulling this, like, it's not like kicking the ball away hasn't been, like, on the, especially late in a game, hasn't been right, like a yellow card the entire year.
Right. Like, that is obviously and since last year. I mean, it's obviously
yes,
a
point
focus
of emphasis. Yes.
I had written down one of the worst shifts in FCC history. The only one I can really think of, I believe there was a red card Alan Cruz game where he also had a bad back pass that led to a goal.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, like that's kind
of
what
the end. Alan Cruz only came on to get cards.
Right, exactly. Like there were games where I was tempted to give Alan Cruz like a 0.5 or a 1. And this would have been one of those games for me. Like Halsey, I thought he was dispossessed once. He was he had a mistouch. That was one of the dumbest second yellows I've ever seen and is going to be called every time. Like,
yep. Like, well, especially when you got a card happy ref.
Right. Right. And yeah, like don't put yourself in that position. Like it's going to get called. Like, so that was really horrible. Frankly, he's probably cost himself, playing time in the near future for sure. I would think, especially
going to be playing this weekend.
But right. With our depth at that position, like, Alves, Yedlin, Alves or nothing, probably. On the other hand, I thought Dotto, like I mentioned before, 3-shot creating actions, 2 key passes. Like he played a lot of his shift was even strength. I thought that he was, you know, bright. I thought he, you know, pushed the attack more. I really wish he would have come on earlier, frankly. I thought he was really good. Kevin Kelsey made his FCC debut. Some people were like, oh man, I see it. And it's like, well, I don't know that about that.
He wasn't exactly putting his stamp on it.
Right. And you know, we weren't at that point really even trying to put our, like, we're just trying to close out a game. But I will say, like, Baird gets 13 touches. He comes in for Baird. He gets 11 touches. Like he immediately is more involved. Now, you know, I will say there were a couple of times he probably could have made a run where we kind of had numbers, especially when Datto was kind of pushing the issue a couple times. I thought he would have done well to curve his run, give us a little bit more width. But, you know, I thought he was fine in his debut. And, you know, he clearly brings things to this team that we don't have a lot of, as far as, like, you know, being able to hold up a little bit, being able to win some aerial balls up front, things like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, I do see the promise, but, you know, I'm not ready to you know, pencil him in as a starter just yet.
Yeah, I think the sub pattern was really awkward and ended up being, I think, more awkward given the fact that we essentially lost Halsey. I think that was the 78th minute. And, you know, you had Kelsey and Lucho coming off around the 60th minute. So it was mm-hmm. kind of like all of a sudden Lucho goes off. You're still only up one. He had to come off. But then it just really kind of felt like once Halsey went out with the red, it was like, well, now it's just defense, where at least I thought we could be a threat up a man offensively and maybe try to get a second and put it away. But yeah, once the red card happened, then it's like, holy shit, like we might even lose this game, much less drop the points for a tie. So and you know, if not for Celentano in the end, that probably would have been the result. So
right, and I'll also say, you know, I should say that I thought Powell did also kind of look a little shaky. You know, like
those, he hadn't played in forever, has he?
Right. I mean, you know, he looked like a guy with some rust on him, and it was you know, that those last few minutes were kind of a white knuckler. So you know. I will say I don't think that the overall performance was as bad as people say, but it wasn't, you know, you would like to see more, you know, we just weren't doing anything. Like, we had plenty of the ball up a man. We weren't doing anything with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Let's turn our attention forward to this weekend, Adam. Hell is real. Oh, boy. Early season test against what many consider to be still the best team in MLS, even though they sit far down in the standings. They have been playing extra midweek games and rotating, and I think as a result, you know, you kind of see some ties early where normally you would expect the Crew to be winning. They're firing on all cylinders when it comes to Continental Cup games, and we get to go visit their house on Saturday night. So this is going to be a tough one as far as I'm concerned. Kind of give me your initial impressions of it and where you think the game might be won or lost.
I mean, I was going to just give you like, yeah, that's yep. why he's the best color man in the business. No, I mean, that's all right. I mean, you know, Nancy is a great manager. He's done well with them. They, you know, their midfield is super duper tough. You know, it's going to be a real test for Obi and Buka. And
Buka
you
more
know,
so.
Right, exactly. Like going up against you know, the Nagby and Morris combo.
Who shouldn't be that good.
Well, like
they shouldn't be that good. Darlington Nagby is 85 years old.
Well, I mean, you know, There's something to be said for you know, some of what soccer is just experience. I mean,
he's savvy. He's as savvy as they come.
It's like Lionel Messi. It's like, you know, there's a.
We were never going to say that name on this.
Well,
podcast.
You know, we're gonna have to say it at least twice this year. So okay. I mean,
no, he'll be gone. He'll be Copa America.
Yeah, well, that's true. But anyhow, yeah, like there is. You know, just a certain timelessness to you know, being able to play a ball. Like, you don't need to cover all that much ground, and you know, Nagby knows where to be. He doesn't have to be that young buck anymore. Like, he's a smart player. So you know, yeah, I just think in the midfield, especially if Lucho is still showing signs from an injury. Yedlin, if he's still showing signs from an injury, like they have a midfield that can really take advantage of us.
Oh, and their wings too.
Right. That's yeah. Like that. Like they're
get another performance out of Orjano like that one, and we're cooked.
Exactly. Or like if Yedlin is you know, if he's down, like, you know, we'll have to, I guess, probably. Well, we'd have to because Halsey's going to be suspended. So, mm-hmm. you know, we'll have to play Powell, Alvis. Who hasn't seen, you know, very much action lately. So, you know, like this is going to be a test for sure. You know, I think, yeah, it's you know, I will say, I think I would be thrilled with a draw.
Yeah. Oh, I 100%. I look, people can be mad at me, and everyone knows I'm Cincy till I die. I have no expectation out of this game. I could see us losing 3-0. Like, yeah. I just don't know. I don't know defensively with three at the back. I just don't know how we. There's not enough back there to constantly keep an eye on Cucho. And, you know, if you're going to give Obi the primary responsibility to kind of watch him as he comes down, you're going to pass him off to Miazga, who for a savvy veteran is still, I mean, he's not fast. Mm-mm. Miles Robinson has not exactly shown the ability to just stick a foot in and stop someone from dribbling around him. You know, at least as far as I'm concerned this year, it's not like I'm thinking, holy crap, like this guy is MLS best 11 right now. Now, could he have a performance like that? I suppose, since he was MLS best 11, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. So I just worry about how we're going to contain that. And then, you know, is Buka going to be the one charged with kind of sticking with Diego Rossi as right. he comes down? Or, you know, who's going to pick them up? And you can leave, I mean, shit, Nagby crushed us 1 year from the outside. Like, right. you know, so there's a lot of question marks in the center of that park. I'm not worried about them. Their wings, as long as we can funnel their wings towards the corners and deal with crosses, I think we're fine. If mm-hmm. their wings get in, yeah, if their wings get in behind and start driving near post, I think it's going to be tough.
Right. Yeah. I just, there's a lot with them that is just, you know, they just have a lot of dangerous players. Yeah. You know, they can score, you know, Cucho gets a lot of the attention, but you know, they get goals from different guys. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they're right now they're just playing, you know, they went down to Monterey and got a result. I mean, you know, we didn't do that.
Nope.
You know?
But they're the luckiest team in the history of teams too. Well, like, sure. I mean, that goal at the end of the first half in Monterey, what the fuck was that keeper thinking? Sit on that and you go in 1-0. And I don't think that game ends the way that it does, but I digress because again, luck has smiled on them as of late. It's smiled on them against FCC, all the credit mm-hmm. to them for coming back, but you know, offsides to Boop, own goal from Powell, like, you know, Yeah. So Miazga not there. Like, you know, it's not like we've gone in full strength and they've just had our number per se. But this one just has me a little bit. The thing that worries me most is Lucho's injury. Yeah. Because if we offensively, because I don't think, I mean, the Cruz defense is a little bit improved, but I don't think it's not as good as ours. And I think we can score on them. Mm-hmm. But not if we don't have Lucho there. Like, who's gonna be the one to create? So.
Right. I mean, I think this last game kind of just goes to show you that, like once Lucho like picked up that knock and he wasn't really pushing the issue, like we didn't have, like nobody was making runs. Nobody seemed right. to know what to do offensively. Like, you know, right. like you're up a man and you can only get your starting two. Forwards like 21 and 13 touches respect, like that's
right. We should have dominated them.
We should have been, you know, pushing them. We should have been, you know, taking bad shots, who, like, you know, just putting stuff into the mixer, because they can't mark everybody. You know, so I thought that you know, while I do think that this game, you know, the crew game will be different, though, because like you said, like they are not the defensive team, but they do have, like, they have a great midfield. They have.
Right.
And that has been kind of our, you know, it's been, I won't say our main Achilles heel, but it's definitely been an issue for us that we have struggled against really good midfields. And because it's like Buka, you know, just isn't quite there yet. Like he's done well against lesser competition, but when we've really had to count on him for big things, yeah, it's been a struggle. So that is, I think, the key to the game for me is our midfield against their midfield.
Yeah, and you got guys like, I'll even throw Corey Baird in there, but Buka and Orojano, like, I don't know that they're prepared for that pressure cooker. Like, I can't think of a game that Corey Baird would play in that carries the stakes and the emotion that this game carries, you know, year in and year out amongst the players as well, because you're damn well right that TIFO is going to reference something, either them winning a cup, them coming back from two, you know what I mean? Like, right. There's going to be a dirt in your face moment before this game, and then you know they're going to come out flying. They've got a week and a half off, so they're fresh. We're coming in a little bit dinged up, so clearly we're going to go out and win 2-0 because we have no business winning this game. And Pat Noonan just seems to be able to you know, not pull rabbits out of his hat, but he's just a really good coach and get the most out of him. But yeah, it's a man. I'm excited for the game, but I'm scared at the same time. Like, I just could see them just, you know, shoving three past us in an 8-minute span.
Right. I mean,
and I don't see where we're, you know, you're going to run Kubo and Baird again. Dude, if we get play like we got this week, we're not going to score.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it. Yeah. When you go up a man, I mean, they were parking the bus.
Yeah.
You know, and Columbus isn't going to do that against us. I mean, you know,
well, Columbus won't park the bus at all. This game's going to be wide open. All
right.
Game.
Exactly. Like, Nancy is not,
he don't change.
Right. He's pushing the issue. So, you know, I'm not so scared about, you know, Baird and Kubo not, you know, if they want to get into the action, they can, especially if Lucho's 100%. Now, yeah, like you said, like I do think without Lucho pushing the issue, we don't have ideas. Like, we, you know, like Luka can do some things, but that's not really Yedlin's strength, and that hasn't really, you know, Pavel Buka, it was kind of his strength in Czechoslovakia and in Czechia. But it has not been his strength here. So, you know, somebody will, if Lucho isn't 100%, somebody has to pick up the slack, whether it's Dado off the bench. But, you know, somebody's going to have to be a creative force, because I don't think we can withstand Columbus's attack for 90 minutes unless we're hitting back.
Right. So my question to you is, Lucho is not an option. Who is the most important player on the field for FCC?
If Lucho's not out there?
No, if he's like, because he would be the choice. So he's you can't pick him. So who is the most important player on the field for FCC in this one?
Who? I would say, I mean, if I can't pick Lucho, I would say that's a tough question.
I'm not going to ask. I'm not lobbing you softballs, brother. Yeah. Come on.
I mean,
we don't rehearse this stuff. We just come up with it as we go.
Right. I would say Orojano.
Okay.
I just think we can't rely solely on Lucho to do everything for us, especially if he's, you know, not 100%. Like, I, you know, somebody else will have to do something. And, you know, it has been Orojano's job to be that guy. I wish we had, you know, I will say this. I think if Buka puts in a great game, it will be hard for Columbus to beat us.
That's fair. I mean, for all of our offensive woes, we've scored one more goal than them in one less game. But it's not, you know, so, yeah. So I don't think, you know, they're not exactly, and you can say, well, you know, a couple of these games they've rotated up top and you know, you had the Cucho, well, let's see, Cucho suspension, I don't think was during any regular season games, was it? Yeah, I don't know, but we're without Boop, so it all washes itself out. But, you know, I look at a guy like Matt Miazga maybe, because this is all about like, how do we neutralize their attack, or how do we, you know, how do we take option number one away? But I agree with you on the Luka shout. I think that's a good one. I was thinking, you know, if it really came down, if I wasn't going to pick Miazga just for defensive purposes, it would be Luka or Buka. Because again, like, neither one of them has necessarily, you know, Luka's had some good games. Buka's had some, not games that he's taken over, but he's found some more space for himself. But they really need to have a game where you're like, this guy's now an option. Because neither one of them have shown themselves to be consistent options. Mm-hmm. And you're already kind of playing from behind with your forwards. As good as we may have looked with the two of them against Colorado, with Baird and Kubo, like, you're still down your stud, so to speak. So you've got to manufacture that stuff somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. Again, this was one of those games where we only had one guy over two shot creating actions, and he was a sub that came in right at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I do think Lucho isn't 100%. I really do think you have to give some consideration to getting Datto on the field, maybe as a starter, because like, I just think he is, you know, he's just brash enough and confident enough to be another offensive.
Probably catalyst. Take Baird off and put Lucho up top with Kubo.
Right. Right.
And then drop Datto into the 10 and see what you can get, knowing that Yuya is going to have to probably put in some work defensively, because Lucho is basically just going to stay up top and try to pull the strings, you know, with not minimal amounts of effort, but knowing that he's not 100%.
Right. Kind of run the three like we would with Brenner sometimes.
Yeah.
When Lucho was out of the lineup, where we'd kind of use Brenner coming back as
he would drop into that spot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Like, I think you could, you know, put Kubo in that kind of a position too. You know, but yeah, I do think, I without Lucho, I'm just not sure the typical starting 11 gives us enough firepower to really beat the top teams in this league.
All right. Well, win, lose, or draw, we will be here to tell you about it. And I mean, come on, we are the most miserable second place team in all of world soccer, probably, sitting on 21 points after that, a game in hand against Miami. So honestly, if we were to pick up that game in hand and win, we'd be tied, but they got goal differential, blah, 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 whatever. So, but yep, we'll be back to tell you guys all about it next week. A Hell is Real edition of Grade A after the big match this weekend. But for this week, we win 3 points, 9 on the bounce or on the trot or whatever they say, but 3 in a row, 3 big points. We continue to climb, build a solid foundation. And as Nate Hale says, we go again. So we will be back next week to tell you all about it. For Grade A, I am Adam Wygand saying Prost.
And I'm Adam Kuhn. F the crew.
Damn right.
Yeah.
We talk about how nothing good happens at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's the truth. It's old Charlie Coles used to say that.
A few things I avoid in my life: bars at 2 a.m. on a Sunday night, and boxers, and potentially boxers' girlfriends.
Yeah. You know, you see a welterweight and you think,
he doesn't look that big.
Yeah. It's the speed. Speed I'm kills,
sure,
man.
I'm sure Boop felt he had about 30 pounds on him.
Yeah.
Because he probably did.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, it's terrible, but whatever. We move on. We have bigger fish to fry, like Columbus. Too bad that
30 pounds was the rocks between his ears.
Oh, boy. Yep. Some people, they just don't know, Adam. You try to tell them. They just
try
don't
to tell
want,
them.
They just don't want to listen.
How many? Yeah. All right. You want to move on to more boring?
Oh, God, this is going to be awful. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that way. We'll talk about Columbus at the end or something.
Right.
We'll have to do something worthwhile because this is not going to be it. But okay. All right.